For journalists, tips about which stories to pursue can come out of nowhere. It's hard to know if it's going to be a waste of time or lead to something bigger. That's what happened to my colleague Paris Martineau.
So almost a year ago to the day, I got a mysterious phone call from a source that worked in the short-term rental sector. They told me that they'd received an email from this guy down in Nashville who's almost certainly crazy, but also might not be. This probably crazy guy claimed to have uncovered what he described as a super sketchy network of short-term rentals in Nashville that were all being secretly run by some startup based in New York. I remember the source telling me that they were pretty sure there wasn't much to these claims, but they passed along the guy's phone number just in case I wanted to check it out. It was a pretty slow August afternoon, and I was bored, so I gave him a call.
Paris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Good, how you doing?
What happened next led me down a year-long reporting rabbit hole.
This is the Information's 411. I'm Corey Weinberg. This is part two in a series on the impacts of Airbnb and the short-term rental economy it helped spawn. Paris, you're going to take us through some of your reporting on this one.
Yeah, so this all started when I got on the phone with this guy, Dan Weissman.
Maybe I watched The Wire too many times. It taught me how things were connected.
Dan is a pretty normal dude, actually. He lives in Nashville with his wife and works for a wealth management firm. They moved to East Nashville in late 2017, around the same time the tourists were flocking to the Music City in record numbers. Nashville had always been a popular tourist destination, but the rise of short-term rental platforms like Airbnb catapulted tourist interest into the stratosphere. All of a sudden, the tourists weren't just downtown and hotel districts, they were everywhere. For residents like Dan, the transition was kind of frustrating.
You'd have just a lot of strangers hanging out on the deck, loud music, a lot of drinking, the trash would pile up.
Dan actually had an accident, and he ended up having to have foot surgery, leaving him bedridden with little to do but sit in bed and stare out the window at the Airbnb across the street. He soon realized that it wasn't the only home that had been converted into a short-term rental on his block. There was the condo down the street that had dozens of tourists filing in and out each weekend, and another house a few down from his that had different groups of drunk young people in the yard every week. Once he started noticing them, he couldn't stop. So he started digging.
What kind of digging are we talking about here?
Like looking up property records, or at least that's how it started.
The first one that I looked up turned out it was owned by two men that had a Long Island address on the deed. Lucky for me, it's really easy to look up property in Nashville. So I got their names, I Googled them, and turns out they both worked at a company called Domeo.
Domeo. What was Domeo?
Wherefore art thou Domeo?
I hadn't heard of it. Domeo isn't a household name, but much like Dan, once I started looking, I quickly got obsessed. Like a 6-foot-tall corkboard covered in red string and post-it notes, obsessed. The story of Domeo begins with its CEO and co-founder, Jay Roberts. The way he tells it, the idea for Domeo started when Jay was living in Manhattan's Times Square around 2016. Jay was a banker, living in New York, as bankers do, and he started renting a spare bedroom in his apartment on Airbnb. He started making a lot of money from it, actually. He got good reviews from guests who appreciated having a decent place to stay without paying an arm and a leg for a microscopic hotel room. Here's Roberts talking about it at the Skift Short-Term Rental Summit back in 2019.
That's when the light bulb went off, and I said, brands are going to be the future of home sharing and of Airbnb.
And around this time, that light bulb was going off for a bunch of different entrepreneurs. By 2016 or so, Airbnb was becoming dominant. Revenue was growing by close to 90% a year. But Airbnbs could be inconsistent. You didn't know what you'd be getting. Startups thought you could deliver hotel-like consistency to short-term rentals by professionalizing them, becoming the Marriott of Airbnb or something like that.
A bunch of startups popped up to serve this market. There was Lyric, Stay Alfred, The Guild. Before he'd filed the paperwork to incorporate Domeo, Jay had actually accepted a job at one of these companies called Sonder. He learned their financial models, got access to pitch decks and materials detailing Saunders' operation strategies. He was even trained by Saunders' CEO and their head of real estate. But a couple of weeks before his official start date, he reneged on the job offer, left, and ended up starting his own company, Domeo, doing pretty much the exact same thing. For now, Domeo, it's a decent business idea. The idea was to run a bunch of Airbnbs, basically like hotels. Domeo rented out apartments and homes in popular cities around the nation, outfitted them with stylish furniture and, in many cases, fancy adult bunk beds and beer pong tables, and then rented them out full-time on platforms like Airbnb for cheap.
What made them really different than any other type of host on Airbnb?
Well, they had a brand name and employees. Domeo raised upwards of $70 million from some pretty marquee investors and hired a lot of real estate experts to scour for buildings and strike deals with landlords to lease apartments to get inventory. In interviews and in press releases over the years, Jay would also tout one other big difference: technology. According to Jay, Domeo was a capital T tech company.
We've hired amazing engineers and product folks from Airbnb, from Uber, from Amazon. So we are building our own technology.
Jay would often tout the super advanced, quote unquote, quant style algorithms that Domeo used to figure out where to expand to.
Yeah, you know, there's always an algorithm.
There always is. With all this in mind, I started reaching out to former Domeo employees in the hopes of getting a better understanding of what the company was up to. One of the first people that I spoke with was this guy, Josh Benson, who worked on Domeo's real estate team in late 2018. Pretty much right away, things started to get weird.
There was no algorithm whatsoever on finding a property. Absolutely zero algorithm. If anyone says that, absolutely bold-faced lies.
The more that I talked to Josh and other former employees, the more that my understanding of this company began to change. It was like there were two Domeos. The flashy venture-backed startup on the cutting edge of hospitality that I described earlier, and this more problematic version of the company, where nothing made sense and no one could agree on the truth that only Domeo insiders seemed to be aware of.
And that's the thing is, they are an unethical, shady company.
So I started reaching out to people, every former Domeo employee I could find. A couple months after I started looking, I got a hold of Tina Sparrow, who was another former Domeo real estate employee. She actually worked on the same team as Josh. Tina is a character. I have never met a busier person in my life, and I am a workaholic. After a lot of back and forth, we finally found some time to chat as she was driving home from one of her 14-hour workdays.
Sorry, we've been playing phone tag for like the past 2 or 3 weeks.
That's okay. I love your name.
Tina and Josh are hotel industry people. They worked together at Hilton for years, but they were lured in by the pitch of Domeo's new approach to hospitality. She told me that the company was obsessed with expansion, and at least at first, they really seemed like they meant business.
Domeo wanted the big seven. Chicago, New York, Nashville, Austin, San Diego, LA. Everybody wants the big seven, right?
But the backdrop here is that in a lot of cities where Domeo is growing, laws governing Airbnb and other short-term rentals were changing, getting stricter. And these startups' business models didn't always jibe with them. These startups sort of embody the very thing that a lot of cities, including the big seven, didn't want. Professional companies renting out empty houses to travelers when they could be occupied by full-time residents.
Yeah, and Tina remembers Domeo being kind of clueless about some of the intricacies of these laws.
Every city has its own legal path to being able to operate legally in the cities. Part of Chicago's, which was my territory, was you can only do 6 units per building. They were directing me to go get 20, you know, 80. And I'm like, you can't legally operate. You know, there's laws against that. Then they were like, oh, well, it's like they didn't know that.
And that brings us back to Nashville, which was one of the big seven.
By around 2017, Nashville had a lot of rules in place to disincentivize companies from buying up homes and turning them into de facto hotels. If you wanted to rent out a place on Airbnb, it had to be your place, meaning you had to be a resident of Nashville and live in the home you rented out. That butted up against Domio's business model, which was to rent out totally empty apartments and condos. So the company tried a loophole. Executives and employees at Domio bought homes in Nashville themselves, sometimes with their parents or significant others, and told the city that they lived there in order to get these special owner-occupied short-term rental permits. Meanwhile, they were listing them full-time on Airbnb under Domio brand accounts.
A lot of what they were calling their inventory for Domio was actually their own personal unit.
I found in some property records that in August 2017, Jay, the CEO, and his co-founder, Adrian Lamb, signed deeds for two homes across the street from each other in Nashville, which cost $490,000 each. Weeks later, Domio's official Airbnb account listed Jay's property as a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath home with a loft, deck, and ping-pong table, and it described Adrian's property as a four-bedroom, four-bath home with a roof, deck, and grill, all easily available for rent on Airbnb. Josh, the former employee, caught wind of what was happening and thought it was really strange.
Because we were just focused on downtown prime locations, and it was a city manager at Nashville. I was like, why do we have these townhomes, you know, 3 miles outside of downtown? And he was like, oh, because employees own it. And I was like, what? And I was like, are you kidding me? It was hush hush.
So explain why this would have been hush hush.
Well, it turns out that the Metropolitan Government of Nashville found that the five Domio employees and executives who were doing this were all in violation of local laws. The government ordered four of the employees, including the co-founder, Adrian Lamb, to cease renting their homes on Airbnb and barred them from listing them on the site for years afterwards.
And this whole thing went way beyond Nashville, though, right?
Yeah. The more Domio employees I spoke with, the more apparent it became that there was something else going on here. For one thing, employees kept mentioning that Domio had properties in New York, which was wild to me because nowhere on Domio's website or Airbnb accounts or anywhere public, really, did Domio publicize that it had any listings in New York. And this made sense because short-term rentals are effectively prohibited here in New York City, at least the kinds that you'd list on Airbnb.
So yeah, I mean, I've been covering this. You've been covering this, Paris. Short-term rental laws in New York have been an issue for Airbnb for years. There's plenty of Airbnbs available to rent in New York. Like if you went on their site right now and wanted to hop to the Big Apple, like you'd find some Airbnbs. But it's been a huge political and legal fight. The core problem was the fact that people and companies could make extra money renting full apartments on Airbnb, which would remove those units for full-time residents, driving up housing prices. Journalists and investors have been asking CEO Brian Chesky about how to solve this problem for years.
Landlords decided you can make a lot of money by taking units off the market and just renting them on a short-term basis. And though I think the scope of it was overstated in our platform, this was a real problem. And people were doing this. And I would consider this to be a very bad negative externality.
You hate a negative externality.
You hate it, Brian. Meanwhile, local regulators weren't really able to enforce which landlords or hosts were breaking the rules. But Airbnb also had its own rules, its own terms of service, which it can enforce on its own terms.
But it turns out many companies, Domio included, were playing this cat and mouse game with Airbnb, where they tried to keep the company from finding units and listings that they might want to take down. My reporting uncovered that during this whole period, when regulators and Airbnb were supposedly cracking down on all these illegal short-term rentals in New York, Domio was secretly renting out at least a dozen Manhattan apartments and townhomes on Airbnb, and making a killing from it. In order to make sure that all these units that the company controlled couldn't be linked back to Domio, Domio employed some pretty creative tactics. Let's pretend it's 2018, and I'm Domio. Corey, you're an employee that I just hired.
I'm excited to join.
Yes, welcome aboard. One day, during your first couple of weeks in the job, I approach you with a proposition. I'll give you a $100 bonus if you go online and make an Airbnb host account. And then use your driver's license or passport or whatever to apply for verification with Airbnb. It sounds like a pretty easy way to make $100.
I'm down.
So you do it. Thank you, Corey. We'll give you your $100 soon. It'll be direct deposit. You go online and make an account. The profile page, you know, it says, "Hi, I'm Corey." It features a profile photo of you and a bio about, I don't know, how you live in SF and work for the information or something like that. Once Airbnb verified Corey or whatever Domio employee's account, the control of that account would be handed over to Domio, who would take it, change the name to something fake like Barney or Ron, make up a totally fake bio, and swap out the profile photo with a stock photo or something they found on Google.
Yeah, and they would even Google generic-looking guys, right?
There was an account named Barney and Ron that shared the same profile photo, which, if you, I don't know, reverse image searched it, it's a photo that comes up when you Google the phrase normal-looking guy. A lot of brain cells were spent doing this, clearly. So Domio had dozens of these accounts, and they all looked totally legit. As far as Airbnb users could tell, these host accounts didn't have any apparent connection to Domio. They seemed like real people. It also used the accounts to leave reviews on all of its other properties. So you'd see a listing and it looked popular and you'd be more likely to want to stay there.
So the reviews you'd see on Airbnb listings were posted by Domio.
Yeah, and a lot of them were totally misleading, but you wouldn't know it.
How widespread was this?
So according to internal company data that I saw, Domio used more than 20 of these misleading Airbnb accounts to covertly operate at least a dozen short-term rentals in New York. From just those handful of rentals in New York alone, those generated at least $2.2 million in revenue from Airbnb, like guest reservations at those listings, just between like September 2016 and February 2020. Josh, the former employee, remembers this New York issue being a major red flag about working at Domio.
Peeling back the onion, it was just so many red flags that we were being lied to.
What does Domio say about all this, Paris?
Well, they denied my request to interview Domio executives, but I will read the statement they gave me for the story. Domio, the spokesperson said, quote, is committed to working collaboratively with local governments to provide safe and secure housing and to complying with all applicable local laws.
And what did Airbnb say about all this?
So after I went to Airbnb for comment for this story, they opened an investigation. And a couple of days later, I got a call saying Airbnb had suspended all of Domio's accounts, including all the ones that seemed like real people. Indefinitely.
Damn. Okay, this is a story that got results, Paris.
Pre-publication results. You love to see it, Corey.
What I think, though, with my Airbnb reporter hat on.
Very small hat.
Yeah, it's a tiny hat. I think what is important to remember about Airbnb's story here, as it goes public, is that it was supposed to be a way for people to cheaply offer up their spare rooms. And now, of course, as we know, it's a multi-billion dollar juggernaut heading to an IPO, and it exists somewhere in between a like divey way to stay in a city for cheap and a professional hotel service. And I've been thinking a lot about what Brian Chesky has been saying lately in interviews. He's sort of talked a lot about this deep desire he has to go back to basics. And that's really the kind of thing you see a lot of tech companies do when shit starts to really hit the fan. Like, YouTube should go back to being about cat videos, or Facebook should be just about posting baby photos.
The internet should go back to Usenet boards, nothing else.
Chesky said this back in April.
I'm not meant to do real estate. I'm not even meant in a larger sense to just do travel. You know, when we started Airbnb, it was about connecting with people. That was the roots of Airbnb. And that's what we're meant to do. And if it took a crisis for us to kind of get back to basics, back to our roots, then a new, better Airbnb will emerge. And we'll be back.
But it's important to remember that the need to grow and justify their valuation allowed them to turn a blind eye to the uglier parts of the mini cultures and businesses that cropped up on it. even if Airbnb keeps Domio off, or if Domio reforms themselves, Airbnb still benefited from their existence. So even when these companies want to go back to basics, they really can't.
For folks like Dan, that can have real consequences. The Domio across the street from him eventually got shut down, as did many of the other ones around town. But the whole experience really changed the way that Dan sees his neighborhood and the tangible impacts that these seemingly abstract tech companies can have on the world.
You know, the Domio house has since sold, and we have new neighbors now. You know, it's nice when you don't have these ghost houses that become party houses for the weekend.
Paris, thanks for bringing us the saga of Domio.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
That's our episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. This episode, as always, was produced by Ariella Markowitz. We'll see you next week.